Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. And now when you use promo code DNVR, you can make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's only with promo code DNVR and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. I am Patrick Lyons.
And I am Susie Hunter. I gotta just say this right now. I realized it's been 3 years since I've watched an All-Star game on TV. Because last year, no, I was there. You were there in person. We didn't have one in 2020. So it was kind of a treat last night.
Absolutely. That's true for this whole show. It's probably true for a lot of people in Colorado, right? Nothing in 2020. And then, yeah, we were all hanging out at Coors Field. Some of us, most of us, many
of us. A lot
of
us, yeah.
Sure, you're right. So it was definitely a much different experience and kind of remembering things. Did you ever get a chance to actually go back and watch the television broadcast of the Home Run Derby in the game? I promised myself I would, and I didn't.
You know what? If for some reason I thought that I had made it onto TV, I would have watched it. But I was like so busy that whole week. Like I was still on my road trip. I'm like, I don't have time to just like sit down and watch a game that I lived in person. So I didn't rewatch any of them.
I meant more along the lines of in the off season, but because
my attention span does not work that way. Cause I totally forgot about it by the time the off season came along.
There you go. Well, I don't think we're going to forget about an awesome near ground into double play by CJ Cron. What a moment for the Rockies here. In the All-Star game, though it was exciting when Cron got in the game because, you know, they weren't talking about it. I know that was something that you pointed out, Susie, that not a lot of Cron conversation. He didn't really get that chance, that opportunity. I think maybe, you know, had he had a hit or something like that. Again, if things had just played out differently, I think people would have said, wow, this is a really good story. Probably not as good as a Daniel Bard. Daniel Bard's also more of a personality in a sense. So that also I very much think that would have been highlighted, but he just kind of popped onto the screen when someone reached first base and was like, oh, Cron's in the game. Guys, everyone wake up. Cron's in the game. It was exciting. It was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny. Like I stepped away from the TV for like a second and then I was like, wait, Cron's here now without like the fanfare. I feel like we're so excited about this. I don't know why this broadcast isn't getting hype for the Cron zone right now. So that was a total snub for sure.
It was. And then they tried to backpick him at when he was on first base because he got somewhat of a large secondary lead. But we know he was not going to say foolish enough, but he was not going to get caught out there and get picked off because that is, frankly, how this game began. I didn't hear anyone talking about I'm not huge into the historical aspect of All-Star games as far as like, oh, when was the last time a guy got picked off? I'm curious. It is a thing to know, but it's not something I would ever commit to memory because it's just very obscure. The one of the few things I would not commit to memory.
I was gonna say, say, Patrick, I don't think something being obscure disqualifies it from you committing it to memory.
But how often would I be able to utilize that trivial piece of information? Hardly ever, which is why it's got to go on the – I'm not going to reserve a lot of time to memorize that. But Ohtani, they said in the broadcast, 0 for 8 against Kershaw. What does he do? Single on the first pitch, then gets picked off, and you go, okay, this is an exciting start. In a strange way, it was a good open to the game.
You know, it was too. And of course, like, you know, everyone's just having fun out there. So I just love seeing Shohei leaving the field, laughing. It's just like, I'm like, okay, like, they're literally just playing a game. They're just having a good time out here.
Very true. And all throughout the show, we'll talk about, you know, the first half, our favorite first half stories. We'll look at the best players in the first half for the Colorado Rockies, maybe make some second half predictions and talk about some of the greatest performances by Rockies in all-star games and home run derbies. But overall, what would you grade out the all-star game? It felt like it might have lulled a little bit towards, you know, the fifth and sixth inning. It definitely seems to have calmed down a little bit. They had plenty of the bells and whistles with all the players being mic'd up, but the hype kind of went down a little bit. I think that's natural. There just wasn't a lot of runs, right? It was a 3-2 victory for the AL, and so it was really quiet for long stretches of the game.
You know what? I didn't even really notice that the game kind of got quiet because there's so much else going on in that broadcast that kept my attention. So I was entertained the entire time. Loved all the bells and whistles. I'm a bells and whistles kind of girl.
Yeah. Yeah. I maybe we're different in that way. Like,
I think we're a little different. Yeah.
I wanted the actual baseball to be good. And the broadcast was, like I said, was very good. All players mic'd up. Alek Manoah was the first one went out. Mm-hmm. I know Liam Hendricks did it last year, but I guess maybe my head wasn't wrapped around it. Maybe there were a couple other guys last year that did it too. Again, we didn't actually see the broadcast.
Yeah.
But he was pitching that whole inning and was like talking in the middle of it. And it looked like he needed to try to catch his breath. He was asking the announcers, like, do you got a scouting report on this guy? And so good, fun banter.
Yeah, for sure. It was really fun banter. So yeah, at first I'm like, okay, we're getting a lot of Manoah breathing and grunting like as he's pitching, because, you know, I'm sure he doesn't usually talk while he's on the mound. So like at first I was just like, what's happening here? But by the end I was like, okay, this was so much fun. I loved the banter. But yeah, the funny thing is I was like, oh my gosh, they're miking up the pitchers. And I feel like a lot of other people on Twitter, like from Colorado, were like, what? Mic'd up pitchers? And some people were like, no, they did this last year. Why don't you remember? It's like, okay, like we were all at the game. Like I had no idea that Liam Hendricks was mic'd up last year because I wasn't watching the broadcast.
I can just remember because that was something that, you know, went a little bit viral because I think I think he cursed a little bit. He had a very cool moment too at the end of the game, and not that we need to go in chronological order.
Yeah.
Where Julio Rodriguez caught the final out. It might have been the ninth, might have been the eighth. And he's shouting out to Julio. He's like, save that ball. And Julio's like, oh yeah. And he feigned like he was going to throw it over the center field fence. So that was, I enjoyed that little back and forth banter.
Yes.
Again, we need that. We need guys to have fun, to be playing. It is an exhibition game. So really being on top of all those moments was really cool. And what's funny, side story tying in with the Rockies, Garvin Alston, a guy who is one of only 10 players in Rockies history to have one career win, and it came with the Rockies. I talked to him last year at the Futures game, and I said, oh, you know, do you remember that game? And it was pretty vivid to him. I think he might have won that in 1995, 96 at Coors Field. And he said, yeah, after the final out of that game, my first and only big league victory, the center fielder, Trent Hubbard, threw it into the stands, and he got rid of it. And I said, what? And he laughed. He's got a good sense of humor about it. He's a you know, pitching coach with he's bounced around a bunch, but he's a AAA pitching coach. And said, but now anytime he runs into Trent Hubbard is buying the drinks, he's buying the food, because he owes him for the rest of his life for getting rid of and throwing his only big league win baseball into the stands. Obviously the stakes were not as high for Liam Hendricks on Tuesday night.
Yeah, for sure. That was one of my favorite moments in the whole All-Star game. I think Liam Hendricks is hysterical. A lot of people agree with me on this, but he was just like, oh, Mom, the meatloaf! It was great. It was fantastic.
Andres Jimenez had a really nice in the bottom of the first double play that he got started with the behind-the-back toss. That was nice. That was a flashy little thing. That, again, first, if you're just tuning in and you're watching a couple innings, I think you loved what you saw there from that. Gerrit Cole, Max Fried were talking in opposite sides of the dugout there or opposite sides of the field. Notice that I'm pretty sure Gerrit Cole referred to a home run as a pump. And he's saying, oh, hey, Max, you know, now that we got the universal DH, did you ever get a pump in your career? And I was like, did he say that? I'm like, okay, I guess so. Home run's a pump now.
Oh, my God. I actually did not catch that. That's a new one for me, for sure.
Stanton and Judge got mic'd up. They were in the outfield. I thought that was neat. And I was also blown away. I noticed a couple people on Twitter were saying, wait, really? This is Giancarlo Stanton's first All-Star game appearance with the Yankees? And it's like, oh, yeah, I guess so. He had a couple down years in the pandemic year. You know, there was no All-Star game. So that was his first one. He obviously made the most of it. With a big spot. Now, NL did get on the board early. You had a double from Ronald Acuna. Mookie Betts, RBI single, gave the NL an early 1-0 lead. And you say, oh, that could be the story there. Betts could be an early front runner for MVP there. Goldschmidt followed it up with a solo home run after a double play, wiped Betts off the bag. And so it's 2-0 NL. Maybe Kershaw even gets the win there. But unfortunately, it was... Tony Gonsolin ended up coughing that up overall. And that was all we saw of Betts. Betts only had the one AB and then he bounced. It was nice to see him before the game, you know, talking about the importance of baseball and African-American representation, wishing Rachel Robinson a happy birthday July 19th. She turned 100 years young. So that was really cool to see that. But Stanton gets up against Tony Gonsolin, blasts the two-run home run immediately followed by Byron Buxton with a solo shot. First back-to-back home run since? I don't actually know. But someone knows out there. I don't know everything, and I'm willing to admit that I don't know everything. But that was a really cool moment. I thought, yeah, I guess Stan's going to be the MVP. And sure enough, he wins the Ted Williams Award for Most Valuable Player in the MLB All-Star Game. That is a very long title to think about.
A very long name. Something about that glass bat, I just really want to swing it.
It's pretty neat. I like Nestor Cortez. He was another guy who was mic'd up. Him and his catcher were both mic'd up, and his catcher wasn't
so cool.
His quote-unquote AL catcher. It was his teammate. It was Jose Trevino, who's just a national treasure. He was fantastic. He even said before the game, I was listening on MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM, Jenny Kavanaugh, Ryan Spielborgs were there, and that was great hearing them all throughout the pregame. But Trevino said, I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but, and then everyone, of course, said, do it. You got to do it. They didn't care what he had to say. You got to do it. He said, I'm going to bring a marker with me out to the field, and when Pujols comes to the plate, I'm going to have him sign my catcher's helmet. And Pujols' spot in the order came up in like his second inning was out there, and I think Garrett Cooper had come in to pinch hit. And I was like, no, that was the moment. That would have been the spot. It's kind of similar to, what was it? Nelson, wasn't it Nelson Cruz who went and got a selfie with Yadier Molina and the umpire a couple years ago, maybe 2019. Like that would have been such a great moment. But Jose Trevino was really enjoyable to watch. He was over there on first base. Didn't have too much conversation with CJ Cron in that spot. But nevertheless, again, more mic'd up players. And your boy, J-Rod, he was mic'd up for a little while too.
He was, yeah, that was a lot of fun. In general, he was just like the star of this week. He was the star of this All-Star weekend after his performance in the Home Run Derby, his performance in the All-Star game. But yeah, I love hearing from these guys while they're out there playing baseball. Very candid.
And the Mariners, of course, 12 wins, I think, going into this break. So, I mean, they're one of those hot clubs. As we said they would be after that big brawl they had with the Angels, they've been pretty unstoppable. Ryan Helsley was pretty unstoppable. 103 miles an hour. He let it eat. That was fantastic. Austin Riley, he had a single, I think, in the bottom of the eighth. That was the first hit since the first inning. So the American League had a damn near no hitter there to a certain point. And there was a cool moment that I know you really like.
Yeah.
And I think it probably annoyed some people too, because it's like, okay, we're looking at American League All-Stars. Let's highlight the young players of the game. And sure enough, less than a week before he's about to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, Big Poppy's got to get his hands in there. I enjoy Big Poppy, even as someone who grew up initially as a Yankees fan on the East Coast and not owning like anything that was Boston Red Sox. It would like burn my skin. It's like now seeing anything that's Dodgers, it'll like burns your hand if you even touch it. But yet David Ortiz is a guy who gets a pass and he was entertaining. They just kept a camera on him for a couple minutes and he went wild. He was like a kid in a candy store in the AL dugout and was like, where's my guy over here? Who's this? Yep. Oh, let me stand between Stanton and Judge. That was pretty cool.
He was just grabbing guys being like, hi, you're on TV now. Let's have some fun banter. He is so entertaining. I think he transcends that rivalry. For sure. He is just such a great baseball personality, such a beloved person, and like such a great character. So I'm like, we need more Big Poppy grabbing guys in dugouts and doing TV interviews.
He's going from LA. He's going from West Coast to East Coast because, again, he's getting inducted this weekend in Cooperstown, which is wild to think about. He asked Alec Manoah, hey, how would you pitch me? And Manoah actually thought about it. Said, all right, let's see. I would probably start you. And Poppy said, it doesn't matter. I'm going to take you deep. So Alan here in our chat on our YouTube channel, DNVR Sports. Check it out. Ohtani should have had to pitch. Yeah, we agree. We kind of said it yesterday. Like, you know, you can take him out of the game as DH. And so theoretically, he's out of the game. But it's an exhibition. It's a little bit different. He's out of the game as a hitter, but he still should be available as a pitcher to throw an inning. But again, there's a lot of people grabbing at him. Last year in 2021, he really stepped up. He was the face. He did it all. He did the derby. First pitch, first batter, all that. And so, you know, that's a lot. That's a lot to ask of him. And we don't know some of the other things going on behind the scenes. This is a moment, though, where – look, you kind of have to do those things. I imagine that is one of the things that's happening right now, I think, in MLB. Not sure how much it's true in the other sports, but so many guys drop out. You know, again, some of it could be injuries. Some of it could be I'm not really interested in being there, whatever it may be. And there's not as much focus as, hey, this is the game. We're trying to highlight the best of it. And we're really trying to put the biggest names and faces out there front and center. And if the players don't go along with that and aren't on board, then the product suffers, right? Then the game itself and those watching at home may not have the same benefit of wanting to watch future games and things of that nature. So, Alan, really good point. It would have been really nice to see Ohtani pitch. I think that was important, but I'm not going to come down hard on Ohtani saying, hey, he did something wrong or his representation did something wrong. I'm going to give him a pass, but yeah, I'm bummed.
And you know what? When would he, I think we touched on this yesterday. When would he have warmed up? Like, when would he have a chance to warm up before coming in? Like, he's already doing so much stuff.
Yeah. And everyone only had one inning pitch. I mean, we've already seen the end of the two innings pitched by the starter era. I mean, I remember at one point it was three innings and that didn't seem like it was all that much, but nevertheless, yeah, they got to figure out a way where, again, if he comes out as DH, he's still available as a pitcher so that he can warm up. And do that whole thing. It was nice. Did you like the uniforms? I think we both agree they got to go back to just look, wear your team uniforms out on the field. It really.
When did we agree on this? Gorgeous. I don't remember agreeing on this.
You seem like a sensible human being. So that's why I feel
you know
like
what?
you would agree with the teams need to wear their team uniforms with their different colored caps. So that it highlights it. And that if you're a fan at home, you go, hey, where's my Rocky guy? I don't see the purple. Well, no one's wearing purple. No one's wearing any colors because it's just a blank uniform. That's why I think you would be a sensible person and would want the original uniforms back.
How dare you just assume what my opinions are? Actually, I prefer that they have special all-star uniforms. I don't mind. I don't necessarily need to see like, you know, a million different uniforms on one field.
I apologize for calling you sensible, but
yeah.
I will say
okay.
I did overall like the white jersey with the gold that looked sharp. That looked good. Some of the guys had on a gold belt when they came out, for the lineups and all that. The gold belt looked really sharp. I think that was good. The away, the AL uniforms were okay. That like graphite color, that was fine. I think the AL uniform that they wore was still better than both of the uniforms in 2021.
For sure. Yeah. These were a huge upgrade from last year's uniforms. Wasn't a fan. They weren't even for Colorado. They were for Atlanta. So, I mean, that's probably uniform-wise, I think that'll have to be, like, the worst one that will ever happen, hopefully. But, no, I liked these. You know, I kind of expected a little more flash, a little more flair, because we're in LA, but, I mean...
White and gray, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and also, I don't know why, those first pictures that we saw of those All-Star uniforms, I thought that the AL uniforms were black, and it was just, like, not a great picture. So I was like, oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah, I did prefer that, the gray more than a black. The helmets, I thought, were really cool. Again, they were just black, but it said ALNL with the little star on it.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really cool touch. Like, it was just something simple, but it kind of tied everything in really well. So I was a big fan of that in general. I think this might be the last year for the, not generic, but the uniform, the uniform that everyone wears for one side or the other. I think they had a 2-year deal with Nike. So next year it'll be back for everyone that was kind of like, hey, I want to see the red of the Cardinals uniform. I mean, again, when you do the Derby, that's when you can wear the uniform and go with that. But then in the game itself, go back to the actual duds and threads. And so I think that's probably coming back next year. Either that, or you got to just do a better job of making these generic uniforms, because the last 2 years they were just, again, okay. They were just okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think maybe you said this a couple of days ago, but once all the teams have their City Connect uniforms, wouldn't it be great if they all wore their City Connect uniforms to the All-Star game?
Now that's an idea. I like that. I'd be down with something like that, much like I'd be down for hanging out in the corner of Colfax in York just about at any point when the DNVR bar is back up and running. We're only a couple weeks out from that going down and getting that member-sized beer when you're down there, and the extra raffle tickets at all the watch parties. But until then, of course, you can still hang out in the members only Discord. That's not on the corner of Colfax, New York. That's right here on your cellular device. You could hang out. We're chatting about the All-Star game. We're chatting about Summer League, all kinds of different stuff. You don't have to worry about politics or a-holes. It's just everyone in the DNVR community. It's only 50 cents for your first month. An annual membership, of course, gets you a free shirt from dnvrlocker.com, and you get all the great coverage on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avs, Rockies, Rapids, Rams, Buffs, not to mention rugby, golf. It's fantastic. Great bang for your buck, much like Ivaca TV, because what Ivaca TV is doing is taking Altitude Sports, it's taking AT&T Sportsnet, it's even taking us on the DNVR Sports Channel on YouTube, and putting it all in one place. So now, when you go to ivaca.tv/DNVR, you can sign up to get Nuggets, Avs, Rockies, all in one place. We're even talking about Denver Pioneers, CSU Rams for the college sports, Mammoth, Rapids, all in one place. Ivaca.tv/DNVR. It's typically $25 per month plus the cost of the receiver, but guess what? You can use code DNVR on top of that and save $10 off your first 3 months. And when you're watching any of those games, and for a little while now, it's going to be Rockies games on AT&T Sportsnet, make sure you're doing it with an Avalanche Ale. It's the drink of the year, right? It's the drink of 2021, 2022, because we're talking about the Stanley Cup final champions, the Colorado Avalanche, and their Avalanche Ale. They gave away so many great tickets to the Stanley Cup finals, that being Breckenridge Brewery. And now it's time to support them back a little bit more. Visit breckbrew.com to find out about all their different drinks. I mean, they've got some great hard seltzers. If you like the seltzies, Breck Brew has gotten you covered on that as well. Avalanche Ale, the drink of the year.
Well said, Patrick.
Thank you, Susie. Going into the game, when they were announcing the rosters, probably no surprise that Giants players got booed, Padres players got booed, but also Houston Astros players got booed, because we know that's who they took down there in the World Series, was the Dodgers during the whole sign-stealing fiasco that went down there. But Jock Peterson did get some love as a guy who's currently a Giant. But, of course, we know so many great years with the Los Angeles Dodgers. So it was nice that, you know, he wasn't forgotten about.
Yeah, for sure. Plus, You know, I feel like he's transcended to a new level of appreciation after getting slapped. So.
Yes. Yes, we're very appreciative of Jock Peterson. Hope that doesn't happen again. And hope we get some more Rockies All-Stars here going forward. Because Rockies have had a bunch. And, you know, maybe this is an off-season kind of conversation. But I feel like, look, we're talking about the All-Star game. So we should highlight some of the greatest Rockies All-Stars ever. And, you know, obviously we know all the Blake Street Bombers. Those guys are All-Stars. And you've got your favorite. But I thought it would be interesting to kind of look at it from different parameters, like, the youngest All-Star that the Rockies have ever had. Might not be any surprise. It was Nolan Arenado at 24 years old. And then the guys that were 25 are interesting. Tulo and Trevor Story. You go, okay, got it. David Dahl, which was a couple years ago. And you go, boy, the wheels fell off that one really quickly. But you remember it. And then, guy from Greeley, also a guy from, actually, this guy was from Alaska. Remember, we were talking the other day about Gabriel Hughes being born in Alaska.
Yeah.
He's got an Alaskan connection, Sean Chacon. I'm drawing a blank exactly why. But Sean Chacon, 25 years old, when he made the All-Star team as a pitcher, he was injured that year. So unfortunately didn't play. But we got to get some 21, 22-year-old Rockies All-Stars, man. Zach Veen, is he going to be an All-Star next year? Julio Rodriguez, hey, we saw him in the Futures game in 2021. 2022, he was in the game. Starting, could that be the case for a Zach Veen?
I think if we're gonna, does it count if they were selected for the Futures game and maybe didn't play? Because I feel like maybe Ezekiel Tovar could also be a potential young All-Star next year.
That's the trick question, right? That's the trivia question you throw out there, and because no one's gonna remember that, they're just gonna say, all right, well, Veen was the only one last year, so all right, we can cross off the 2022 Futures game. Let's go back further. You go, wait. You missed someone. He didn't play, but he was in it. So I like your thinking. I like that creativity.
Thank you.
Could Ezekiel Tovar be the Julio Rodriguez of 2023? Question mark? Maybe. I don't know.
Question
most
mark,
All-Star
exclamation
games...
point.
Yes, I like that. Most All-Star game appearances. No surprise, Todd Helton, Troy Tulowitzki, Nolan Arenado all had 5 All-Star games. And then right behind them with 4, Charlie Blackmon, Dante Bichette, Larry Walker. We said it earlier. I know I did. Maybe next year, if it really is Charlie Blackmon's final season, does the commissioner select Charlie Blackmon as an All-Star? Now that bumps him into that top echelon with 5 All-Star game appearances, because we know they did that for Miguel Cabrera and Albert Pujols. And yes, those are first ballot Hall of Fame guys. Charlie Blackmon, not a first ballot Hall of Famer, probably not a Hall of Famer in general, but still someone when you look about the, you know, think about the faces of the game or just players who, you know, are recognizable in general. If no one else is on their way out, no one else is in their final season. Yeah, you might invite someone like Charlie Blackmon to the game. I didn't know how the commissioner's pick was going to go. I assumed that it was just going to be like the first player who got snubbed, but I love how it was, you know, thinking outside the box of just like more of a legendary or notable player. Charlie could be that guy, and maybe, just maybe, he could earn it on his own. I think he might have been a little bit close this year. His numbers were solid overall.
So wait, hold on a second, Patrick. Do you think, I don't think there's any chance that next year would be Charlie Blackmon's last year playing.
Well, he only has one more year left on his deal after this one. It's a $10 million player option. And that is something that he's already said, yeah, I'm going to pick that up. I'm coming back now. Right. He could, again, with this resurgence this year, you've got to feel a little bit more confident to your point. Like, wait a minute. I feel like he's got at least 2 more years, maybe a third. I don't know. So maybe this offseason, I don't know how much of a priority it would be, because again, he is clogging up the DH spot just a little bit. But do you say, well, look, you're definitely coming back for 1 year on 10 mil. Do we give you a 2-year, $18 million deal, 3 years, 25, something like that? Quite possibly. And he's got more left with him. I don't think he really wants to go elsewhere. He does want to finish his career as a Rocky. So I'd be more inclined to think, yeah, maybe a 2-year, 2-year, $18 million deal extension in this offseason. So it's now 2024 that becomes, you know, his final year in the major leagues. But contract-wise, next year could be his last. I also don't think he's one of those guys who would full, you know, would come out and say, hey, MLB, this is my last season. Make sure when I come and visit your town, you know, you give me something to commemorate it. He's definitely not one of those guys.
No, he's not.
That would do that, right? He wouldn't put himself on that kind of pedestal. Also, next year with every team playing every team, he might go to some cities that he's hardly played in. Like, I think he might have played in Toronto once, and the Rockies just didn't win any of those games. So I don't know that Toronto's like, oh man, we're going to give you some of our favorite and famous Toronto soup. You know, I don't know. What's a big cuisine?
Poutine.
In
Poutine.
Or Montreal, no?
No, it's all of Canada.
All of Canada is as poutine crazy, huh?
Yeah.
You sure about that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So hook up Charlie Blackmon with some poutine in 2023, because you never know. It could be his last time in Toronto. If we're talking about starters, Larry Walker started 4 times, was voted as the starter by fans 3 times, named the starter once. Helton also was voted as the starter 3 times. Arenado voted as the starter 3 times. We mentioned it yesterday. Ubaldo Jimenez, the only Rocky to be named the starting pitcher. That was in 2010. Came after he had that no-hitter in Atlanta. Came after he was just absolutely lights out. He was the best pitcher in baseball going into that All-Star break. No doubt about it. And no catchers have ever made the All-Star team for the Colorado Rockies.
Part
of their struggle, part of their story, is that they haven't got a ton of production from their catchers. But Tampa Bay hasn't really either. In fact, if you go back and look at all the expansion teams, they haven't gotten a ton of production out of players. They've gotten a couple All-Star appearances. I think Miguel Montero might have been an All-Star with Arizona. Maybe Mike DeFelice was an All-Star with Tampa Bay. Yeah, these are just obscure names.
Yeah,
You catch lightning in a bottle for 3 months, you might become an All-Star. But it doesn't, you know, make you a great all-time catcher that people are going to remember and say, oh man, remember the Mike DeFelice era? It was a couple months. It really is what it was. At-bats in an all-star game. How, this might be surprising a little bit, but again, if you really step back and reflect, the most at-bats in an all-star game is only, not an all-star game, in all-star games total, is 10. That's it. Blackmon and Arenado both had 10 at-bats. That's the most, which is, again, it's kind of surprising when you think about, you know, Tulo, Arenado, Helton having been a part of 5 different games, only getting 10 at-bats. I mean, that's 2 per. Right now, you're lucky to get 2 at-bats in a game.
I was going to say, I'm not super surprised by that. Yeah. They cycle through those guys so fast.
No, that's true. That's true. Home runs. Charlie Blackmon, Trevor Story, Matt Holliday, and Todd Helton, only ones to homer in an All-Star game. The only player to triple by Rocky, I was there to see it, Ellis Burks in 1996. Not bad.
Not bad. Wow, you were there. Good for you.
Indeed. 6 pitchers have pitched in the game. About 8 or 9 have made the All-Star team as pitchers, but only 6 have actually pitched in the game. That being Ubaldo Jimenez, who started in 2010. We have Greg Holland, Brian Fuentes, Mike Hampton. Most recently last year with Herman Marquez at a 1-2-3 inning. Did fantastic. But the longest outing was by Aaron Cook in 2008. That was an extra inning game and ended up going 15 innings. Aaron Cook got the ball and they just said, just keep pitching like crazy through 3 innings. Did not give up a run. It was a really good performance there for the National League by Aaron Cook. Gave up 4 hits. Did walk 3, struck out 1, but did not give up a run. And so for that, Aaron Cook. Cookie, nice job.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Encyclopedia Patrick, for another great dive.
That's it. And now when it comes to the home run derby, again, there's been a couple of guys. I think there's been 14 different players who've been a part of the home run derby. Obviously, most recent, Trevor Story. He got knocked out by Trey Mancini. I think he had 12 that year. I can remember there was some story about him asking, hey, did I hit more home runs than Charlie Blackmon? And I thought he did. But Story, of course, was last year. Only Cargo and Larry Walker participated in more than one They both had two home run derbies. And it's funny because when you go back and look at the totals of, you know, the total amount of home runs that players hit, you know, even 10 years ago before they had this format with the clock, they didn't hit a ton. Like Dante Bichette was the first one to ever participate. That was in Pittsburgh in 1994. He only hit three. Burks in 96 in Philadelphia, he hit one. Todd Helton in Seattle in 2001 only hit two. Cargo, his first time in Kansas City, he only hit four. But again, the timed format allows you to make more outs, but also, of course, to hit more home runs. So Larry Walker made it to the finals. That was really the best showing. And that was a year where they used to do like rolling totals. So basically, if you did great in the first round, you get to keep those numbers. So he ended up losing to Tino Martinez in the finals, even though I think Tino was like totally blown up. He had like 21 in the first round. So that was kind of a strange thing. But Matt Holliday, Michael Kadire in 2013, and Tulowitzki in 2014 were the only other ones to at least advance to the second round. And just to more know, the only one to ever participate in the Home Run Derby, along with Trevor Story, who weren't actual All-Stars, they went, they showed up to represent Morneau. He did it in Minnesota. That was a year in which the Rockies had two players in the Derby, Tulo and Morneau. And then last year, we know Trevor Story had to represent the hometown crowd in Colorado, which was, of course, super cool to see.
Yeah, for sure. That was awesome to see. Two things. One, I'm sure Julio Rodriguez wishes that home runs still carried over from your early rounds, because that would have been a totally different outcome.
Precisely. Yeah. And I don't know what the solution is for that, because again, if you're going into the finals, and again, what about this? So Juan Soto, you go, well, he hit like 16 and 17 in the first two rounds. He didn't need to hit more. Right? Like he hit one more than the guy that was in front of him. So that wouldn't necessarily be fair to say, okay, we're starting the finals and you're already down 20 home runs. So then what? Yeah. He goes in the finals and he hits 18. His time's up. Julio doesn't even hit in the finals then, because it's just like, well, no, he had to catch up. So it's so hard to know like what's best. It's just, it's unfortunate. Like he used up all his homers in the first two rounds, and you go, he hit 81 home runs and he didn't win. Yeah. It's an imperfect system, unfortunately. Would you like to see it go back to that? Would you like to see it go back to just most overall home runs? Or just maybe face off to face off?
Maybe. I don't know. It's like, I just feel like if you're hitting, you know, 80 plus home runs, you deserve to win. Like, that's so many home runs. So I would like to see something like that come back into the mix.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see a Nikola Jokic MVP bobblehead up on my shelf. And I'm going to do that by heading over to foco.com, F-O-C-O.com. You can check out the link in our YouTube description if you're watching live or you're watching it after the fact. You can actually get 10% off with code DNVR for all non-presale items. So this is something that you're going to save on. You can't beat that. Now, Foco, man, we're teaming up with them to make sure that you're secured with access to all the best collectibles and gear around. They've got all the Denver sports teams, Rockies City Connect bobbleheads even. I think they've got some regular Rockies bobbleheads as well. So it's really neat. You got to check these guys out. They are the next ones up. You know the name Fanatics, but you need to know the name Foco right now. It's foco.com. They are the next ones that are changing the game in a major way. So get in now on the ground floor at foco.com and use code DNVR for that 10% discount. And also head over to athleticgreens.com/ROC. It's the first three letters in Rockies. So you can take ownership of your health. You can also get a free 1-year supply of immune supporting vitamin D, as well as 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. It's what I use each and every morning. It's how I start my day before my first cup of coffee to help get me going. Well, guess what? This helps get me going. All it is one scoop, and I get 75 high quality vitamins, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, minerals, adaptogens, you name it. It gives me that clarity before that first cup of coffee. Usually I can wait a lot longer until I have that first cup, because Athletic Greens is getting me in the right place. So get yourself in the right place at the right place at athleticgreens.com/ROC, the first three letters of Rockies. First half is over. The Colorado Rockies are 43-50. It feels right.
Yeah. So, you know, not great, but less than 10 games under 500, which, you know, we've been in that rut for a little bit. So, all right, feeling a little better about the...
What? Yeah, 6.5 games outside of the final wild card spot. Again, a lot of teams to jump over, but a lot of guys that deserve to get some praise. So let's go ahead and dive into the Blaze Street Bombers, because these guys are on fire. Really good first half, first 3 months of the season. At number five, we have close to five guys. No, we've got three guys. Chad Kuhl, Jose Iglesias, Connor Joe. Didn't want to leave those guys out. Yeah, we'll throw in Kyle Freeland as an honorable mention as well.
Oh, my
gosh. But from those three guys, do you give the edge to one over the other, or is it just like, man, they're all kind of doing their own thing in a unique way?
Patrick, I know you really wanted to put this list together, but I have to roast you. Why don't we just make this a longer list? You always want to have like 2, 3, 4 guys at that number five spot. I told you I was going to roast you for this, and I'm living up to my word.
That's it. I've got to get it in. I don't know if the graphics department can make something with the full 26-man roster, and I rank them and go, at number 26, he gave up 3 home runs last week, but that strikeout there of Jake Cronenworth in the eighth was critical. Like, that's not going to fly, so we'll stick with 5 and then just really shoehorn a bunch of guys in there and make it work. Chet Kuhl, the bloom has come off the rose just a little bit here in his last couple starts, but provided that great complete game, 3-hit shutout against the Dodgers there to close out June, was a part of one of the more funner stories, more funnerest. There you go.
Okay.
I speak for a living. The most and more funnerest moments. We'll talk about that in a moment of recent memory. So he's been a part of that. You know, he's got the best ERA in general. Sure, if you're looking at other statistics, like ERA plus, again, he's still the best. Quality starts, he's up there with 7. So he's been really good to help fortify a starting rotation that people were worried. Hey, what are you going to do with no John Gray? Chad Kuhl's he's been just about as effective as John Gray has been.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Chad Kuhl has been awesome. And that complete game shutout was absolutely electric. He absolutely deserves to be on this list. But I think Jose Iglesias, too, has put on such a great performance in this past month, this past season. Plus, he's hit multiple milestones, or he hit a big, pretty big milestone pretty recently, that 1,000th hit.
Yeah, no, that was a big one. He's in around, you know, batting 300, which is really no slouch now. There's not a ton of guys that are hitting 300. It's just kind of how the game is going, with a lot more swing and miss, not a lot less balls that are put into play. So he's doing really well for that. Defense has been good. He's made his share of errors. He's also made his share of really nice highlight reel catches. He's made even plays that are just routine. He's made him a little sassy. He's got some sass in him, or as Bud Black would call it, flair. And then Connor Joe, of course, doing his thing in the leadoff spot. He's kind of in that similar phase with Charlie Blackmon, where for so long, Charlie Blackmon, as you know, batting leadoff, was hitting 25 to 30 home runs consistently. But you look at his RBI total and you go, well, it's not a ton. Well, who's hitting behind him, right?
Yeah.
8, 9, the pitcher. And so Connor Joe, although he's got that, you know, really good combination of power and speed, leads the team with 6 stolen bases, he's doing his job. He is getting on base. So there are certain statistics that might look a little bit lower or a little bit less than a player that is getting as much attention as his, but he's doing the job that he's been put out there for. That's leading off and playing corner outfield and first base when CJ Crone needs a day of rest. So he's been really solid defensively. That's why that trio is the 5th best player for the first half for the Colorado Rockies.
Combine all three and it's like the greatest player of all time, probably.
You're right. Actually, they need to be number one. Let's see if we can get a quick graphics flip. So technically, now that
do not.
There's Shohei Ohtani, right? We've combined player number one, this Frankenstein of a player, complete games, batting leadoff, got 1,000 hits. It's crazy. All right, number 4 on the Blaze Street Bombers for the Colorado Rockies. I believe we have ourselves in Mr. Brendan Rodgers, 47 RBI. Pretty important to note there. Obviously, he's a second baseman, and that's somewhat of a rarity. You throw out his April, and very much could be number one. In fact, there in the All-Star game on Tuesday night, they showed Julio Rodriguez's stat and they said, here's what he did in April. And, you know, he hit like something like 200. He had, you know, a handful of RBI, one or two home runs. Maybe it was only one home run. And you go, man, he struggled a little bit in April, but look what he's done since. B-Rod has actually been better than J-Rod since May 1st, but it's what happened before May 1st. Mm-hmm. That totally wipes away everything that Brandon Rodgers did. He's also not a rookie, so it's a little bit different. He's playing second base rather than a premium position like Julio Rodriguez is doing out there in center field. Not as, you know, J-Rod's got all those stolen bases to go along with it, a lot more home runs. But in general, Brandon Rodgers, you really have to like what he's been able to do since the calendar turned to the month of May.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, I believe he mentioned at the end of May, he was like, all right, yeah, I had a good May. That was good. Glad that happened. Kind of, yeah, he was just like, oh, no, we'll, like, tack this on to May. Like, I had a great May. And it's like, no, like, you're back, B-Rod. You are back. April was the outlier, and he has just been on fire ever since.
He has been number three on the Blaze Street Bombers, of course, Mr. Nasty himself, Charlie Blackmon, 14 home runs. The stroke is absolutely back. Mm-hmm. He only had 13 last year, so it was really awesome to see, you know, him have the power stroke going again. He's been okay in the outfield when he's needed there, but he's embraced that DH spot, taking those days, and so when he's in the lineup, he's that much better.
Yeah, for sure. And we know that he was a little hesitant to take on that DH role, and that's not unusual with guys in the National League who have, like, now just been introduced to having this in their everyday routine. But he's noticing that it does make his body feel different. He feels more rested. The wear and tear is so much less. So yeah, he's taken it on well.
Number two on the Blaze Street Bombers, Daniel Bard, doing fantastic with 22 saves. I thought he has 21. I could be wrong. Do you know his number?
Off the top of my head, you're the one who knows the numbers off the top of your head. But yeah, Daniel Bard has been absolutely incredible. Plus, I mean, I feel like we don't talk about this enough. This is like maybe the biggest snub of the All-Star game, because I really do believe he should have been there.
Yeah, no, 20 saves. It's been fantastic. He's the first guy, I think, since Greg Holland with 20 saves before the All-Star break. So that's no slouch. Yeah, he's been really good in that bullpen for Colorado. Love that 2.02 ERA. Had a couple of flare-ups early on in the season, but he's been great. And he's a guy that really, you know, last year had some bad outings that really skewed his numbers. But if you go back to 2020, that pandemic season when he came back out of nowhere, had six saves, was really solid for the Rockies bullpen. He sort of deserves that. Like, he's been really very much overlooked and really disappointed that he didn't get that opportunity to represent the Rockies at the All-Star game. But of course, their lone All-Star, the guy that is the slam dunk top player for the Rockies in the first half, the Blaze Street Bombers, that would be Mr. Christopher John Crone. Susie, I mean, how great is it to see this guy hit home runs, it seems like, pretty much every series?
Yeah, no, he has just been absolutely electric. He's been so productive for this team. Absolutely deserved to be an All-Star, so I'm so happy that that all came together. But, I mean, yeah, he's just, for a guy who didn't really have a home for, you know, a lot of his career, moved around a lot, happy to see him right at home and absolutely crushing it here in Colorado.
Yeah, love that. Absolutely love that. Crone has been great. And he's been one of those things from when you think about the top moments in the month of, or not the month, in the first half of the season, when you talk about our favorite first half stories, just him in general, getting his just desserts, getting acknowledged as one of the best hitters in the game after, you know, bouncing around five teams in five seasons and only getting a minor league deal to start in 2021. But there, boom, he gets the nod as an All-Star. And so many other really good. I don't think there's enough time to actually go through all of our favorite moments. Of course, so many guys making their big league debut: Brian Servin, Elias Montero, Sean Bouchard, Jake Bird. It's been fantastic. What have been some of your favorite moments of the first half of the Rockies?
You know what? So one of my favorite moments that happened that I wasn't there for was when the Stanley Cup made an appearance at Coors Field. But missing that, I'll tell you what made up for it was seeing Bud Black get ejected, because it's so rare. And I love a little conflict. And I think I feel like Buddy doesn't really necessarily believe in like these things like firing up a team. But I think it fired them up a little bit to see that their manager was behind them like that. So one of my favorite moments for sure was Bud Black getting ejected.
That's really my only criticism of Bud Black, is that I think he needs to get ejected a little bit more. Because like you said, it fires the team up. It doesn't necessarily – look, the game plan is pretty much already made up. And so I don't think there's something that Bud Black would do that Mike Redmond wouldn't. And you go, we would have won that game if we did have Bud Black in the dugout. But – you could win a couple extra games if your manager goes out there, stokes that fire, gets you pissed off a little bit, and now we're going to win this game for our manager because, you know what, the crew screwed up, or he was defending us against the other team. That would be my only piece of criticism, and if that's the worst thing you got to say about a guy, he's doing a pretty damn good job. But yeah, that was ejection was great. Bummed I missed that one.
Yeah, I'm bummed you missed it. I'm bummed you missed it too, but I'm so happy that I was there for it, because it really was quite a night.
Yeah, the new fun story, of course, the Colorado Crockies with the Crocs craze, Chad Kuhl, Lucas Gilbert doing that thing that continues to evolve. I have gone to the Crocs website, but I've not put anything in the cart just yet. So that careful product placement there in the clubhouse has been somewhat pivotal there for that. Herman Marquez, I like how he's been able to battle here in his last couple starts. Has looked a lot better. Did it get his 900th strikeout? Only the second Rocky ever to do that. That happened just this last homestand. Also love that someone made him up a shirt, a long sleeve print shirt. And it was a couple days until anyone realized it. And I had to point it out. I say, Herman, someone spelled your name wrong with an S and not a Z on the end of Marquez. He's like, son of a gun. And he still wanted to keep the shirt. He wasn't going to totally throw it out. And then Ryan McMahon said, I'll wear it. I'll have
it. I'm glad he did wear it. That was a funny moment way back at the beginning of the season. So this is like, what a throwback right now. But yeah, I thought it was so funny when Rymac was rocking it during warmups. It was a lot of fun. I just love seeing the guys having a good time.
Remember when Randall Grichuk got glasses out of nowhere after hitting 300 and then getting rid of the glasses because he was no longer hitting, but then brought the glasses back? First half, one of those great stories. Also, his home run robbery on game four in Texas. Yes. Wow. And the fact that they ended up winning that game because of an overturned call, because Brian Jones, the video coordinator, said, hey, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. We've got a case here, and they end up winning that game. He got the MVP chain, a guy who's not even on the field. I think that's the only time we've seen that happen so far this season. So that was cool that happened. We didn't see, but we heard about it extensively. Josh Shushan told us all about it. Todd Helton, the future Hall of Famer, getting ejected from a AAA game. Wow.
I love ejections, but yeah, him getting mad over, I think it was a pitch clock situation. Him freaking out and getting ejected over that is just exactly what I want to see from Todd Helton. Exactly what I want to see from Rocky's front office.
And then, you know, our season really started off with Jose Iglesias getting that hit, having that moment there where, you know, we all kind of realized like, oh, that's right. His father had passed away during the off season. And so that was the first hit that his father, you know, would not see. And so, that was obviously a very emotional thing. And on the flip side, if we're talking about something that, again, if you're looking statistics wise, and a lot of times the numbers will last a lot longer than moments like that. For Jose Iglesias, obviously that moment will last forever. I think for a lot of Rockies fans, they won't forget that. But if we're talking about all-time performances, you also have to bring up Brendan Rodgers' 3 home run game against the Marlins, the final of which was a walk-off home run. Wow. That was huge.
That was big, Patrick. Yeah, that was definitely quite an evening. But also, I loved when we talked to Brendan after that game. He's like, I don't think I've ever had a 3 home run game like that. I don't think I had one in like Little League. I didn't have one in the minors. Like, didn't have ever. It in T-ball.
Yeah, just ever. Just had never happened. Anything else, Susie, that we missed 3 months of stuff. We talked about 10, but of course we could go on and on. Any of the big ones for you that jump out as like, that was a cool moment, either again on the field for the Rockies in the clubhouse or even for us on our show. You know, we talked about baseball butts. That was a fun one.
Fun one for sure. I loved when PHNX learned what Charlie Blackman looks like without a beard. So that was pretty funny. I love that this was the season, or this was like this first half, where the world fell in love with Connor Joe. Like, his nickname is everyone's favorite Rocky. It's great that we've gotten to see him play well. People have gotten to know his story. People have gotten to see he's just a great guy. So I love that people are just appreciating Connor Joe a lot.
Yeah, that's a great point. It was a lot more in April. It seems like that's something he's getting a little bit less attention for that, which is okay. He's still getting the same amount of attention, mm-hmm. but it's not like constantly up. He's on this talk show and that talk show. But the proof is in the pudding, to your point, Susie, because when you go to the ballpark, there are a lot of Connor Joe jerseys that are around. In fact, I think in the last homestand, I saw someone with a black vest Connor Joe jersey. And I'm like, they don't even make those anymore. Like that's a real exclusive, almost one of a kind of thing. So you're right. He is still a fan favorite, even if the national media might not still be talking about him each and every day, though they probably should. Mm-hmm. Rockies fans know, like, this is the guy. He gets his own graphic. Come on. He gets his Joe.
He's got a chant. It's easy. It's easy to remember. It's a lot of fun. So yeah, the hype for Connor Joe is real, but super deserved.
My mother is a bigger fan of Connor Joe than Pete Alonso. We're watching the Home Run Derby, and she's like, "Oh, he's a Mets guy," because she grew up kind of in a Mets family. So she's like, "Oh, okay. He's a Mets guy, so he's all right." And as we're watching, I'm like, "Is he doing it for you?" Because you don't seem like you don't seem excited. You don't seem to be in on Pete Alonso. He's meditating, breathing through his eyelids, and all that. And she's like, "I mean, he's okay. It's going to take some time." I'm like, "Yeah, but I feel like as soon as you saw Connor Joe, you immediately were like, okay, I like this dude." She's like, "Yeah. I was all in on Connor Joe right away." So he's got that it factor, right? He's Pete Alonso, the polar bear. No, thanks. Connor Joe, Kojo. Yes. He's got the it factor, man. Everybody loves him. He's everyone's favorite Rocky.
I need to start asking my mom who her favorite Rocky is.
Yeah. That's believe it or not, that's been an ongoing bit on this podcast for many, many years. So glad to keep that tradition alive here in a major way. Make sure you're following us on Twitter, because we're having a lot of fun over there talking about the draft picks, and you DMs are open. So you can ask us questions. Even if you're not a member, if you've got the members only Discord, we're having all kinds of conversations all the time. Love the back and forth that we have from the diehards and even the folks that are just trying to learn more, because that's another thing. Second half is starting up. People have kind of gotten a break. You know, they maybe were doing a little bit of camping. They enjoyed their summer. And now they're like, all right, maybe I need to reinvest myself in the Rockies. How do I do that? Who should I be following? What do I pay attention to? And sometimes it's just easy to ask someone. And so our DMs are open. You can go ahead and do that. We can have those conversations, whether they be brief or otherwise. @DNVR_Rockies, @PatrickDLyons is where I'm at on Twitter.
And you can find me @TheSusieHunter on every single platform.
Susie, a lot of momentum as we go into the second half. It starts on Friday in Milwaukee against the Brew Crew. But you know what they say about momentum? It's truly only as good as your next show. So we'll talk to you then.